Hail and hello, everyone. Welcome to the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast, a Midgard Musings production. Join me, Jesse, your host, as we discuss random heathen-related topics and various other things in an attempt to find where, if any, heathen worldviews can be applied. You can support this podcast by clicking on the Linktree link in the description or show notes. You can also follow me on all of my social media platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and become a patron on Patreon. Join me every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central on all major podcast streaming platforms, including Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and many, many. If you wish to have your voice heard on the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast, you can dial in to 615-671-9832. Thank you all once again for listening to the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast. Enjoy, and hail to you all.
Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome back to the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast. Cheers, skull, hail, welcome, hello, all that fun stuff. Thank you for tuning in this week. Thank you for coming back. Thank you for continuing to support this podcast through all of the ways that you so do. So thank you for following. Thank you for engaging in such ways as liking these videos, upvoting the podcast, sharing them around, supporting monetarily if you venture down that path. Thank you for my Spotify supporters, or those that support this podcast through Anchor. That is greatly appreciated. Thank you to my patrons on Patreon. That monthly pledge is greatly appreciated. If you're considering a number of ways to support, you know, Midgard Musings and the podcast here, you can check the Linktree link that is shared in the description and show notes of every podcast. And you know, find what fits you there. There's merchandise, there's tons of ways to support monetarily for as little as a dollar a month through Patreon. You can also do donations through Ko-Fi. It's a $3 donation, basically the price of a cup of coffee. Unless you go to Starbucks and get a multi-grande venti bologna sandwich or whatever the hell they call them over there. But yeah, check it all out. I am sitting here enjoying a dram of it's called Old Portney. It's a single malt, I believe it's a 12-year scotch. Kind of reminds me of a Speyside. There's definite, you know, vanilla and caramel notes. Kind of a rich, fruity nose. Perfect for these, you know, snappy, chilly autumn nights. Tonight isn't so much. I think there's a storm or something coming up, maybe from the hurricanes or something. I don't know, but it's a little bit warmer tonight than it has been over the last week or so. But we are still, you know, consistently staying in much more moderate temperatures here in the Middle Tennessee area of North America. Gearing up this weekend in just a couple of days, actually starting tomorrow night. Going to be heading up to Springfield, Tennessee to set up camp and attend the Raven Moonhearth's Shadow Moot event. If you guys have been listening for any length of time, you know that the fine folks over there at RMH are hosting a public camping sort of event. There's going to be ritual, there's going to be workshops, classes. My wife and I will be there. I will be providing rune readings throughout the duration of our stay. You know, so we will be arriving Friday afternoon and leaving Sunday morning. So while we're there, definitely come by our camp and you know, get a rune reading. They are $15. I can accept most of the popular forms of payments, such as PayPal, Venmo, Cash App, and Exact Change Cash. I'm not going to be carrying a lot of extra cash with me, so I don't foresee being able to make change. So if you have any of those electronic means, that is preferred, or exact change, cash currency will work just fine. And then also, in addition to the rune readings this week, I will be holding a class on Saturday afternoon. Heathenry 101. It's going to be my best attempt to kind of do a crash course lesson on heathenry. It's going to be published on the YouTube channel. At least I'm going to try to get most of that content uploaded onto the YouTube channel. Fingers crossed that everything gets captured and video and audio and all that work out there. So for anybody that's not attending, it will be available on that platform. So be sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel if you guys that are listening aren't yet already. Of course, if you're here watching the podcast on YouTube, then I sure hope that you're subscribed, because I'm here almost like clockwork every Thursday to premiere these episodes. And also, if you're watching on the Spotify platform and you're not yet subscribed, head over to the Midgard Musings YouTube channel and be sure to subscribe. You can also join the channel as a channel member, which is like a monthly, you know, pledge, as it were, kind of like Patreon is, but it just helps keep this machine rolling, as it were, because I am the only one doing it, and it's nice to know that people have your back and want to support you in that way. So now that we've got the, you know, official housekeeping stuff out of the way, and we're here just kind of cruising on, this week's episode actually comes to us here in the form of a suggestion from a post that I made on Facebook this week. So if you're following me on Facebook, you might have seen it. Just asking, you know, what should I podcast about this week? And but what a lot of you folks may not realize is that the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast is very random, in the sense that sometimes I don't have content laid out, you know, in a back catalog, and I still want to put out content, but without sacrificing quality. I'm kind of left stumped on what to do. You know, I don't want to continually repeat myself, although I know that there's a lot of people that may ask for things or request content that covers topics that I've already done. So I'm always, you know, happy to revisit certain things, or at least direct you back to an episode or a video or something where I've already talked about it. And there are some of those cases, but this week's topic is something that I don't recall ever really talking about, and I thought it was worthwhile talking, especially that we are in the month and the time of year that we are in. So the suggestion came from the chieftain of Ravenmoon Hearth, Greg, and his suggestion on the topic for this week's podcast was to talk about ancestor veneration and how basically how it affects or impacts us in the past, or how it impacts past, present, and future, or something along those lines. And I got to thinking about it, and I thought, sure, why not? And the reason why I thought it would be a good topic to go over this time of year, or, you know, this particular week, is, you know, for a lot of Norse pagans, we've just passed the Winter Nights Veturnætur celebration, so that time of the month of the harvest month, Haustmánaðr, where we will celebrate Winter Nights, the onset of winter, as it were. And during that time, during those celebrations, it's tradition to have a very specific focus towards and on our ancestors. It almost lines up with, in some ways, the upcoming Samhain for other types of pagans, you know, and not to say that there aren't Norse pagans that do also observe the Samhain Sabbat, which is, again, it's a Wiccan Sabbat. But some pagans will try to blend the two, you know, saying that it's the same thing or that there's, but it's not. They're definitely two different things. But the types of things that we think about at this time of year, right? We hear about the thinning of the veil, you know, around the Samhain and Halloween, you know, times. And we're definitely, you know, in that mindset, in that mode where for a lot of us, you know, we feel much closer to our dearly departed. There are things that happen. We have encounters. We have experiences, probably, that would be classified in most Norse heathen or in Germanic pagan definitions as UPG. You know, it's that woo-woo type stuff that's not necessarily rooted in historical facts, but that's not what's important right now. What's important is that during this time of year, for a lot of pagans, not just Germanic pagans, there is a focus on ancestors and our ancestors and venerating them. Now, as a general rule, right, there's the practice of ancestor veneration is something that I think a lot of us as pagans keep going year round. It's not that we just stop doing it and only do it once a year or at certain holidays or holy tides or high feasts or anything like that. But we tend to, at certain and specific ones, we tend to have a very, again, focused approach to that all. And I don't know, when I got to thinking about Greg's, you know, suggestion and past, present, future, right? What has been, what is happening now, what's already happened, what is happening now, and what could happen. Here's my whole thing about ancestor veneration. I think you get enough people in a room and you start talking about it, you'll probably hear a lot of the same responses. But first of all, what is it? You know, what are we talking about? Ancestor veneration, ancestor worship. It means exactly what it's, you know, it means exactly what it says. We are venerating or honoring our ancestors, the people who have died before us, who are no longer with us, who have been a part of our lives and who have lived lives that have ultimately led to us existing. And why do we do it? Why is ancestor veneration so important? Now, I've talked about death in a heathen worldview context, or, you know, death in the afterlife, in a separate video. I'll put that down in the show notes of the podcast and in the description of the video for those that are interested in checking it out. But in that video, I refer to how important ancestor veneration was to our ancestors, because it was believed, and it's gonna, I think, vary a little bit from region to region or locality. You know, there's gonna be certain nuances that vary or differ from place to place, but overall and in general, it was believed that just as the family protects you and you know, the family unit is protecting each other in life, that in death the family also is protected by your ancestors, and you do things up to and leading and in their final moments and during their, like, the death ceremonies and all that sort of thing, the burial rites and whatnot. You do things to secure that continued protection over the family, which is why we see items being buried with people, especially those of high status in society, nobles and stuff, which, you know, who were buried with weapons and, you know, valuables and all sorts of things. But it was done because the hope was that the comforts and the amenities and the things that they had in life that made their life, their physical life, so meaningful and enjoyable, that the things that they continue to experience their next stage of life, because death was not an end, and it is not an end. Death is not the end of everything. It's the transition into other things, and it's the transition into a new form of existence and a new type of living. You know, the physical body, the shell, this outer form, is what eventually dies, but the parts of our soul, the various parts of ourselves, do not die. We are continue to go on. And so putting those items in the grave and sending off your ancestors, or sending off those loved ones who become ancestors with those things, was to sort of be like, okay, well, you had a good here, now you're going to have a good where you go next, wherever that may be, you know. And so with those types of traditions, I mean, we even see some customs like that living now and today, where, you know, I've been to plenty funerals and stuff of loved ones where heirlooms or keepsakes and other things are given to the deceased and presented in a way that, you know, is a gift in a sort of way. And while the meaning behind it is perhaps different, I think the spirit behind it hasn't changed, you know, or the reason why we do it is we want to know that a piece of us goes with them, or that they always stay with us in that sort of way. And so the gesture carries with it, I think, the same meaning. So maybe the meaning itself hasn't changed. Ultimately, the spirit of it, of the act, remains true, right? So looking at it from I guess, you know, like a heathen perspective, still we come from the past. You know, the past is gone, all right? We've already lived it, even so far as what I said moments ago is part of the past now, you know. When you started watching this episode of the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast, it's in the past now, and now we are in the present. But the present is constantly moving and being taken over by the past. You know, Urd is constantly filling in the gap of Verdandi. So we live in the here and now, but we are always moving towards Skuld, the future. We are always moving towards that next thing. So with ancestor veneration, we are continuing and feeding the fire of tradition. We are always wanting to remember the love, the memory, the fair fame of those who have earned it, and keep that memory alive through engaging with that person or persons in a similar fashion as if they were still sitting here across from us or next to us, you know, and still breathing the same air that we breathe and still living in a form that we can visually identify and be close to. And we do it because of the things that those people did in the past. They had greatness about them. You know, they did great deeds. They accomplished great things. They served honorably. They whatever their actions were, whatever their deeds were, carried with them a deal of honor, and a deal of respect. And to forget that and to not venerate that, and to not honor that, and to not worship that in a way, does our ancestors a disservice. And it, as the way I feel at least, it keeps them further away from us and further away from their protection. Because why would you want protection from a dead relative, right? It was believed, and I believe, that they are the ones who have our best interests at heart and in their minds too. They want us to succeed, and they want us to do great things just like they did, because it perpetuates and it continues the legacy, and it feeds the well, and it strengthens Haminya, the family luck. It's a living thing. And so to not do things to feed that weakens it. It would be like stopping the nurturing of a plant as you're trying for it to grow. If you stop watering it, if you stop, you know, nurturing it with compost and sorts of stuff to give it good growth, right? If you just neglect it and kind of let it do its thing, it's not going to grow as strong, and it's going to become a shell of what its potential could be. And so, in a much more, I think, complex way, the veneration of our ancestors, the worship of our ancestors, feeds that, the roots, you know, it nurtures the roots, and it keeps things alive and well, and keeps our connection between one another strong, and our bond remains strong. And so, therefore, they want us to do well, and they will help us do well. Their strength is our strength. Their luck is our luck. You know, so when you see people who are succeeding well and doing well in life, it could be said that they have strong haminya. You know, they have that strong family luck tied to them, and it's likely, you know, without knowing them closely or whatever, it's likely that they've maintained a strong connection between themselves and their departed ancestors. So it's, again, it's feeding the wealth and keeping that connection of the past close to further build and strengthen the present. So by doing that, it kind of goes, again, hand in hand, and it's all interconnected, and it's all interwoven. It's where weird comes in. There's this luck that's occurring and that's happening, and the luck is, it's either good or bad. It is what it's both things. It's not, you know, all good. It's not all bad. But you get that inheritance from that, or where we call it, Othala, the inheritance of your ancestors, fed down through, you know, your ancestral line. So, doing those things, keeping connected to your ancestors, whether it be, you know, a lot of folks will have like an ancestral shrine or altar where it's nothing but photos, memorabilia, tokens, whatnots, tied to their family line, to their ancestors. I've been in places where an entire entryway or an entire stairwell. My parents' house at one point in time was kind of like this, where, you know, the stairs going up to our house, our old house on Long Island, was nothing but family photos of my grandparents, my mom and dad's, you know, parents, and then their parents, and all the cousins and uncles and you know, stuff of like all the family stuff. And it was like this, again, it was this wall of fame, as it were, you know. So every time you would go up and down the stairs, you would look and see and be reminded of them. I've been in places like that where, you know, the whole, I don't know, foyer, as it were, was nothing but items dedicated to, you know, family members and stuff. So it's definitely something that a lot of pagans, not just Germanic pagans, have a sense of. And, you know, I think ancestor veneration is a rich tradition in a lot of cultures, not just Northern European or Germanic cultures, but all over the world. And so, again, feeding those memories of the past and being reminded and bringing them to the surface and not letting them sink to the bottom of the well, you know, not allowing them to be forgotten, keeps them close to us. So once again, you know, the past is the past, and it is constantly being taken over by Verdandi, which is moving, which is the now, the here and now, the present, and, well, always moving towards the future, schools. So there we go. It all intertwines, and it's all interwoven. We are doing the things to keep those ancestors close to us from the past and keeping them with us in the present to secure and build a strong tomorrow, you know, for our families, so that way our descendants have the same luck that our ancestors before them or before us gave to us. At one day when we become ancestors, they have that same luck to pull from or to draw from or to, you know, benefit from. So how is that, you know, how does that all play out? Well, the deeds, the things that our ancestors did were, whether they realized it or not, laying down the groundwork, laying down that foundation, laying down that, that foundation to build upon. And then when they, go into the halls of hell and then return to the halls of their ancestors, now they're like, well, my descendants are going to either take this or leave it, and we do them a disservice if we don't take what was given to us and move towards building a future for the next stage of for the next group of descendants to carry it on. Now it does bear mentioning here that when we talk about ancestor veneration, I hear, you know, one of the arguments or one of the things that people bring up is, well, you know, some of my ancestors were real dirtbags, you know, and I don't want to remember them. I don't want them to be remembered. I think they were trash. They did horrible things. You know, look, everybody's family has got, you know, that crazy uncle or that bad apple. You know, everybody's got a sour apple in the bunch. And you don't have to, you know, they are still your ancestors, right? You know, and they still were part of life, and part of their life is part of yours. You inherit it all. Again, it goes back to the whole concept of luck. It's, you know, you don't pick and choose what hand you were dealt, but what you can do is you can decide what part of that hand you want to play and what part of that hand you want to discard and leave alone. And if it's not worth perpetuating, if it's not worth hanging on to, then let it go and let it sink to the bottom of the well, and then add more positive and good layers to offset that negativity, that muck, that mire, you know, kind of like how water and oil separate. Let that separation occur and let it now build on the layer that's above to further, again, strengthen and secure, you know, better things for the future. So is it complicated? I don't really think it is. I think, you know, for people that are maybe new and coming into this, they may get hung up on the fact that, you know, especially if they've come from a background of worshiping a singular monotheistic God, that, you know, that could maybe present some challenges of just getting used to the idea of, you know, actually worshiping your ancestors, praising them, speaking well of them, giving them gifts, leaving them, you know, tokens of things that, you know, you know, like, let's say, I've done this before, like, I knew my grandmother loved to drink scotch, and I still drink scotch on a regular basis. Do I do it to honor her? Maybe not in the day-to-day or the week-to-week occurrences of it, right? But every time I have a drink of scotch, I can't help but think of her, and I can't help but think of, you know, what we would be doing together, sharing a glass of scotch, the things we would be talking about, you know? And even though she's not physically alive, I can and do have a drink with my grandmother from time to time. You know, stuff like that. Or maybe a meal, you know, if you know of a, I don't know, a particular food item or recipe, you know, you're making your grandma's, you know, chicken pot pie, or you're making your grandfather's, you know, grilled steak or whatever it is, you know what I'm saying? Having them, you know, those recipes, yeah, sure, it's just a recipe, but, like, again, having that memory of where it came from, you know, you can kind of insert that into that hearth cult practice of venerating your ancestors, because that's what it is, right? That's ultimately what it is. It's a hearth cult. It's an individual practice that surrounds your hearth cult. And with Germanic pagans specifically today, one of the big things lacking is building of hearth cult and having a hearth cult and knowing what it is that your hearth cult is and practicing it before you worry about, you know, how do I do bloat? How do I sacrifice to the gods? How do I, you know, have a ritual with a group of people and do all these things to that are, you know, yes, important and have a place. But do you even have your hearth cult in place? Do you even have those things that you know are and should know are closer to you than the gods? You know, your ancestors, the whites, the Vaetir, all of those components of this particular branch of paganism, all of those living, again, I say living in the sense that they are living in a different way than we are. You know, they live and exist in the spirit form, but they still share profane space with us, you know? It's just they're on the other side of that, again, the term veil, right, where the veil is thin and the thinning of the veil. That's why we feel like so close to our ancestors and stuff this time of year with regards to that, is because it's a time of year where that the separation between the where the living and the dead are is the lines in the sand are not so clearly drawn out anymore. You know, it's a bit muddled. So we use that and we tap into some of these types of things this time of year. And so as you're thinking about, you know, your ancestors and maybe you're a Germanic pagan who's just gone through the winter nights thing and then did things with your people, or maybe you just did something at home and it was a privately closed off sort of event, right? Because we have examples of both being done in some of the texts. You know, we have the Norwegian model of house bloat or winter nights, which was a very private and closed off event, versus the Swedish model, which was a kind of a public to do, you know, and a public celebration where more people were involved. But maybe it was, again, one or the other, and ancestor acknowledgement and ancestor veneration was a key component to that. Or maybe you're a different type of pagan listening and watching, and you are approaching and looking forward to Samhain, you know, coming up, where you've got some of those similar things that you're thinking about and how it can work for your benefit. Either way, whichever your approach is and however you take it, I feel like if we start to really put an emphasis on hearth cult, our individual cultic practices in our hearths and homes, and really drawing that out and really building that out to something of you know, that we have our own traditions that we are doing, because that's how it was back in the day, man. Like every hut, every family, every clan, whatever, did things their way, and that was their tradition, right? What are your traditions? And you don't, you know, that's rhetorical, right? I'm not going to sit here and say, well, here's what my hearth cult practices are. That's my hearth cult practice. It's private, and I'll only share that with certain people, if at all. But it's a question you should ask yourself. You know, instead of going straight to the, what do I do with the gods? How do I do this with the gods and the sacred and the divine? You know, I think once you figure out your hearth cult, once you've got that nailed down, once you've got your individual cultic practices solid with your ancestors, with the whites or the Vaetir, however you want to call them, then the next stage of things where you're going to be interacting with, you know, the big boys, as it were, you know, the gods and the sacred, becomes easier. You know, you've already got the groundwork laid. You've already got it. Stuff that you do, it mirrors in a similar way. Yes, there are certain things, especially if you take it from like a historical approach, you know, like feignings and offerings are not the same thing as bloat, and bloat is only done to the gods. And it's very specific. If you're going to take it from a historical approach, it's, you know, you don't bloat to your ancestors, you bloat to the gods. It's and that's it. But I think before you approach it, before you approach, you know, and step into the deep end, you gotta know how to wade through the through the shallow end and get your footing and get all that established first and foremost. So kind of just to recap, you know, I mean, Greg's question about, you know, ancestor veneration and how it, I should have wrote it down or I should have had it looking at here, but I'm going to say it was something along the lines of the, how does it impact past, present, and future? And I know impact isn't the right word. So let me just do this. Let me quit talking about it and let me just find it. Do the right thing, Jesse. Connected. How ancestor work keeps us connected to both past, present, and the future. So I think, you know, how it keeps us connected. There you go. It keeps us connected to the past because we are maintaining those connections. We are maintaining those ties through frequent activity, through frequent work with our ancestors, gifting to them, singing their songs, talking about their great deeds, mentioning them during our meals, having little customs and stuff that we do to, you know, keep their fair fame and their memory alive. That's how it keeps us connected to the past. And it's funny that you say, you know, connecting to the past, because there's this meme that I see float around, and I call it a meme, but I understand the sentiment, and it means well, but it's like a picture of whatever the guy's name was that played Ragnar, Travis Lawrence, whatever the dude's name was that played Ragnar in Vikings, right? He's looking all badass, whatever. He's got that wild hairdo and stuff, probably covered in like blood or whatever. But it's and I think they're even trying to say that it was like a quote by Ragnar or something. I don't know. Maybe it was. I haven't watched the show in a long time. Anyway, the words on the meme were, "Stop looking behind. You know, stop looking in the past. You're not going that way." Right, you guys have probably seen it. You know what I'm talking about. That thing. It's ironic, you know, where like all of these people are like, yeah, you know, keep moving forward and then in the same breath they're like, well, they didn't do it that way back then. You got to maintain true to traditions. Like, but you just said, don't look back because you're not going that way. It's kind of like it's contradictory. Again, I understand like the meaning of the meme, and it doesn't necessarily. But it is. It's ironic. It's yeah. Don't look behind you. Don't look to the past because you're not going that way. And yet you want to get stuck on people, you know, and can cry about people not doing things the way they did it, you know, 1,000 years ago. But there is an important element of the past that we need to remain, that needs to be connected to. There's like a lifeline that needs to be preserved. You know, that root line, as it were. Taproot, maybe, is a good definition or word for it, is to, you know, keep some sort of connection to the past, because again, it's what got us here. But feed it to the point of nurturing it and allowing the growth to continue, and then that's what strengthens us in the here and now. And as the future goes ahead of us, you know, the things that we do today are preparing us for tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. And so as long as we, as I was saying before, you know, Urd takes over Verdandi, and then Verdandi, you know, school takes over Verdandi. And so it's like this constant, you know, it's overlapping, it's interwoven. Overlapping is probably a good, you know, analogy, I guess you could say. It's just, you know, if you think about this line moving, and then the stage of the line is always changing, because what was here in the present is now back here in the past, and then what was up here in the future, in the present, is now the future. It's just how it constantly goes. And so ancestor veneration helps on all three, you know, helps all three parts. So, as we move into Shadowmoot, the week into Shadowmoot, this is the last time I'm going to talk about it in the future sense, right? The next time I will be talking about it, at least in a podcast, will be in the past sense, as in it is now in the realm of Urd. But as we talk about it right now, it is in the realm of Verdandi. It is what is to come. Or sorry, it is in the realm of Skuld. It is what is to come. Talking about it is in the realm of Verdandi. And even at the point of you guys listening and watching this, right? I've already talked about this days prior. So I'm hearing it again, or you're hearing it for the first time, but it's already been spoken. So my words come to you from the past, like a history book, like a already written down thing. I don't know. You could get really weird into it all, and if I had other people to talk about, I'm sure we could really break out into some really wild philosophical type conversations, but it's just me, and so now you just have this sort of one-way street that has multiple alleys that we sometimes go down and find, you know, certain trash cans to bang and certain windows to knock on, and then it's out here back into the main road, onto the next station, you know, wherever that is. So, yeah, there you go. This is not a very in-depth, long podcast, but I thought it was a great one to put out here with the topic at hand. So I hope you guys liked it, and if you did, be sure to give it a like. Don't forget to share this video, share this podcast around wherever you have an audience. So tweet it, retweet it, repost it on your YouTube channels, share it on your Facebook and Instagram feeds. Wherever it is that you happen to see this pop up, please feel free to, you know, engage also down in the comments section, especially for those folks on YouTube. The more you engage, the better it all gets. I hope you guys are enjoying also the additional YouTube shorts that I've been doing. I've been trying to put new content in the form of shorts every day just to keep the algorithm, you know, recognizing that I'm consistent with it. So I hope you guys are enjoying that. If you have any fun or cool ideas of things you want to see me do on that vein, definitely be sure to let me know some form or fashion. You guys have all the contact information. It's linked up in the description or show notes. You can write in, you can call in, you can message me, whatever. Any of it's fine. And I will get back to you as soon as I possibly can. So once again, thank you so much for tuning in, listening, and watching today. Episode of the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast. Your support is always greatly appreciated. And until we see each other again, may the gods continue to notice you, and may your ancestors smile upon you.